A reading from the Passion, according to St. Luke, beginning with chapter 22, verse 63. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders and of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes. And they led him away to their council. And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and to the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned Jesus at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. People loved by Christ. Ascension, where I serve as pastor, is a congregation in the St. Louis Hills neighborhood. And if you're familiar with that neighborhood, then you might know that St. Louis Hills goes all out when it comes to celebrating Christmas. There's decorating contests. There's sand art sculptures with Santa. Streets are renamed with festive titles like Candy Cane Lane, Snowflake Street, and Angel Avenue. There are traffic jams from people driving in for the festivities, with cars backed up for blocks. Our congregation decided to do something distinctly Christian during this community's Christmas celebration. And so 4 years ago, we began our live nativity. And so for one weekend, our church lawn transforms into Bethlehem, with costumed figures, live animals, a radio broadcast, and storyboards that use scripture to proclaim the Savior's birth. This past year, this past live nativity, one of our members, a guy named Jim, played the role of one of the wise men. Now, I realize that the wise men weren't there their first Christmas, but we put those magi a little further from the stables if they're still traveling. And Jim was one of those three. Jim with his bushy beard and his serious countenance and his oftentimes gruff demeanor. But that evening, an inquisitive little boy came up to this moody magi and asked him some questions. The conversation went like this. "Hey, mister, who are you supposed to be?" "Well, I'm one of the wise men." "What's that you're holding in your hand?" "It's a gift. It's supposed to be gold." "Who are you giving the gold to?" "We're giving it to Jesus." And then the boy asked, "Who's Jesus?" "Who's Jesus?" And then Jim, that wise man, was able to say, "Look into the manger over there. And see that baby wrapped in cloths? That's Jesus. That's your Savior who was born for you." "Who's Jesus?" That very same question is asked time and time again throughout Jesus' ministry. And the question, "Who's Jesus?" grows louder the closer that Jesus comes to the cross. In today's reading from the Passion of St. Luke, we hear that question asked. We hear it asked not by a curious child, but by others. "Who's Jesus?" It's asked by an assembly of unbelieving chief priests and scribes who question, "If you are the Christ, tell us, are you the Son of God?" "Who's Jesus?" It's asked by apprehensive Pontius Pilate as he questioned Jesus and he asked him point blank, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Who's Jesus?" It's asked by evil King Herod as he questions Jesus at length, as our scripture reading says, question after question after question, hoping to see Jesus perform some miraculous sign, and yet Jesus remains silent. "Who's Jesus?" The very same question echoes down through the centuries. And the question of who's Jesus grows louder the closer that we get to his return. Here in America, as we become more biblically illiterate, as agnosticism and atheism continue to increase, you and I must be prepared. And we must equip others to be prepared to give faithful answer to the question, "Who's Jesus?" And so, who is Jesus? Look to the manger and see the Savior born for you. But don't stop there. Look to that passion account and see the Savior who suffered for you. Look to the cross and see the Savior who dies for you. Look to the empty tomb and see the Savior who lives for you. Look to the sky and see the Savior who ascends for you. Look to the altar and see the Savior who gives his body and blood for you. Look to the heavens and see that Savior who will return for you. In the name of that Savior, amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen.